Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Praise God. I appreciate the cross, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. The cross to the eye of reason. The cross is a center of sorrow. And one man said, the lowest depth of shame. To the Jew, it's a stumbling block. And to the Greek, it's foolishness. How different, however, to the eye of faith. A token of glory. A field of triumph. The chariot in which Christ rode when he led captivity captive.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm glad for the cross.
Amen.
Robert G. Lee said, taking the cross out of our preaching, whether the preaching be in a tent, a crude tabernacle, the isolated church, up the creek, the brush arbor, the country church, the big church in the city, it's taking heat out of fire, melody out of music, numbers out of mathematics, fact out of history, mind out of metaphysics, and words out of vocabularies.
Yeah.
We can't do without the cross.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. I'm so thankful for this meeting this weekend. And you Sunday Christians won't understand what the meeting's been all about, but God's been here in this meeting. Praise the Lord. God's been in this place. And I so thoroughly have enjoyed the ministry of the brethren that has been here. And yesterday morning, Brother Jamie Ellington preaching so wonderfully. Very good friend of ours. Brother Webb last night. Wonderful. And I appreciate your pastor and his wife. Praise God, I do. Just seeing how they work and move in this church and how that God has just blessed them. Be good to your pastor. Amen.
Amen.
Be good to your pastor. Praise God. Because when he's not here anymore, you'll realize what a jewel you did have. I've been to churches all across this land, and I've seen that they've got jolly well what they deserve as a pastor because they wouldn't treat the man of God right. Some of them can't keep a pastor because they won't treat him right. Praise God. Be good to your pastor. Amen. We appreciate everything that they've done, their friendship and their fellowship over the years, and I do appreciate them. And it's good to be here among our friends. Brother Paul told me last night, said that... when his boy heard, I'm pretty nervous this morning for whatever reason. But Brother Paul said last night when he had heard that I was coming, and I know I'm not anything save for God helping us. But Brother Paul said when his boy heard that I was preaching this morning, he said, Brother Johnny's going to be preaching. Praise God. Well, I hope you feel that way this morning. Praise God. And I am glad to be here. And I feel like preaching this morning. I feel like the Lord is put it on my heart to preach. And I want to preach the burden of my heart this morning. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. Praise the Lord. I am glad to see the fruits of revival that are still going on. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, I've been places where it was just a series of meetings. But I'm glad that God come by in that revival. And I just want the Lord to come by this morning and help us.
Yes.
Praise God. John chapter number 12. I'll begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible begins, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Praise God. Brother Prescott, would you ask the Lord to bless the preaching this morning?
Father, we're glad that we can come.
God, I need the Spirit of the Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost. God, we come not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power of the demonstration of the Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Father, you're not at a loss to bring erring men to their senses. God, you've always had a means whereby you arrested the hearts of men. God, as you've arrested those in the generations past. God, would you please this morning? I need that anointing. God, the anointing that turns us into a prophet in the New Testament sense. I need the Holy Ghost this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. The setting of our story this morning is a place called Bethany. It is a village that is situated on the slope of the Mount Olivet, just about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Jesus has come to Bethany 6 days, as our scripture text tells us, before the Passover, probably on our Sabbath, the first day of the Jewish week. And Matthew tells us that this is the house of Simon the leper. And I would like to look at the assemblage of characters here this morning that is in the house of Bethany. And I want you to look at the characters that we find here at the house of Simon the leper. And I want you to notice that in all of these characters, we find these in our New Testament church. I want us to first look at Simon the leper here, probably having this supper to show the gratitude of his healing of leprosy for Jesus. He is a type of suffering, healed, restored, and resurrected by the power of God. Thank God for the Simons that are in our midst that have been healed, amen, by the leprosy symbolic to sin. And those that come and gather in the house of God to show their thankfulness and their honor to God for what God has done in their lives. Then we have Lazarus here, amen, in the house of Simon the leper. He is a type and a living testimony of Christ's death-defying touch over life and over death, the authority that Christ has. We find Martha here in the house of Simon the leper, one in her true character of who, amen, with her heart full of meditative love, and how that she serves the Master in her own way by being there and providing the supper there at the house here. God, give us more Marys, or Marthas rather, who will serve God in the manner of ministry, in taking care of the service of the house of God. Being there to serve God when the services begin. Those that will take care of the vacuuming, and those that will take care of the trash and the detail, the cleaning of the house of God. God, give us Marthas that will be here to serve. Amen. Then we have Mary, who also in her own way served, who led and would continue, amen, to serve, amen, the incarnation of pure, fervent devotion, who will sit at the feet of the Master, amen, those that will listen to the preacher, and when he preaches, they'll embrace the word that's being preached unquestionably as the word of God goes forth. Those who will not dispute the scriptures, those who will not, if you will, try to, amen, convince others that the preaching, amen, of the preacher is not necessary to the hour that we are living in. And then we found the disciples, those who led and will continue to lead men for the cause of Christ. Then we have the blessed Master who is in the midst, he who healed the sick, he who raised the dead, he who opened the blinded eyes. We have the Master in the house. He that defied the laws of nature and calmed the stormy seas. Amen. In Galilee, he who walked the shores. Amen. Of the seas. We have the blessed Master in the house.
Amen. Woo. Man, I feel like preaching here today.
Amen. It would seem to be that all of the inhabitants here, all of those that had gathered here in the house of Simon the leper, it would seem that only on the inside of this house we have the pure, we have the holy, we have the undefiled, we have, if you will, the elite. elite among the elite. Amen. But listen to this. Inside of this house, there's something that has gone on in the house of Simon the leper. There was a lady by the name of Mary who had came to the feet of Jesus, and she took that precious ointment and she broke it and she anointed the feet of Jesus. And the Bible said that the ointment, or rather the odor of the ointment, had spread all the way out through the amen of the house there. And that just sweet sense, amen, just spread all over the house. But there was one disciple, Brother Bill Prescott, who was troubled at this act of kindness, and this act of worship, if you will. And this is what he said: why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Amen. And he had the bag. Amen. And bear what was put therein. Amen. Can I tell you, in the house of Simon the leper, in the house of Bethany, it would seem that everybody that was there, they were good men. They were good women. They were saved. They were blood washed. But can I tell you, there was one in the house by the name of Judas Iscariot. His heart was not right with God. Can I tell you, in this assembly this morning, we can survey all that may be here. And we can look and we say, well, maybe. But I want to ask you this question this morning. And this is what I want to preach for a little while on. I want to preach on, is there a Judas in the house? I want to preach, is there a Judas in the house? Hallelujah. Amen. I want us for a little while to consider the life of Judas. All three of the evangelists, they call him one of the 12. They call him a disciple. Acts 1 and 17, the Bible said, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part with our ministry. You see, Judas had walked with the blessed master for probably at least 2 years in the Christ's latter portion of his public ministry. He had seen the leper cleansed. He had seen the centurion, amen, healed. The centurion servant healed of palsy. He had seen the raising of Jairus' daughter. He had seen the deliverance of the demoniac of Gadara. He had seen the blessed miracles of the master. He knew what it was to be one-on-one in fellowship. He knew what it was like, amen, to feel the presence of God. He knew what it was like to sit in the house. And the word said, and the power of the Lord was present in the house. Amen. Judas knew what it was, amen, to feel the Spirit of God. He knew what it was to feel the power of God. But all the while, somehow, some way, he was unaffected.
That's right.
By what was going on all around him. He knew the perfect holiness of the master. He had watched as those perfect words of wisdom and knowledge had flowed through. And he calmed the questions of the Pharisees. And he stopped the bickering of the Sadducees. And he went in there. Judas witnessed the greatest preacher that came into the congregation in Jerusalem. Judas witnessed the greatest prophet, and more than a prophet. It looked like, Brother Bill Prescott, to me, that Judas had a promising future. It looked like to me that Judas could have been one, if I don't know, but maybe he could have been one that would have had a place in the canonization. Maybe one of his writings could have been written in the New Testament, and he could have been remembered from the years to go by that he was one of the writers of the Gospels. But can I tell you, somewhere, somehow, in Judas's life, he became distracted from the thing that really mattered, and he got caught up in the things that did not matter, and
as His Spirit reveals Himself. And we find out that He is not one of the 12 only, but He is the devil. One of the 12. I want to tell you here this morning, I want to know, is there a Judas in the house?
You see, I understand this. Men do not become villains at once.
Right.
Men are like trees. They usually fall in degrees. You take a tree, a monarch of the forest.
God bless you.
You let some plague, some disease creep into the trunk of that tree. It'll work its way in little by little. You won't even know it's there. Maybe the leaves start to change and they wither. Maybe the branches become bare. It stands up to the wind. Maybe it's months. Maybe it's years. But then the gentle breeze blows softly through the forest and that tree lays on over. Can I tell you here this morning? The burden of my heart is that there's a Judas in our midst. I want to hear now, and I want to preach this twofold if you don't mind. There is a Judas in this house this morning. You're not completely gone away from the Master. You've been here in the recent fellowship of the Master. You have felt His Spirit. You have felt His presence. But you are on the verge of kissing the Master goodbye. And you're going to be forever lost without God. Can I preach to you this morning? Amen. The burden of my heart. Brother Curtis Phillips, I feel like there is a Judas among us. I feel like that there is one. You may not be totally out. You may not be totally backslid. But you've been contemplating going that way. I said you've been thinking about it. You've been wondering about it. You've been feeling the pull of that lifestyle. You've been feeling the pull, if you will, of the far country. And you've been looking to the Father. And you're almost at the place where you're ready to leave the Father's house and go in the field of the far country. But oh God, help us this morning. If you're here, I'd like to reach you.
I'd
like to reach you this morning. How is it that an apostle becomes an apostate, a disciple, a delinquent? He that was the treasurer is now the traitor. How is it possible? How is that possible? I'll tell you how it's possible. It's coming to a holiness convention and seeing the power of God all around us and not being affected by what's going on in this service.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. My heart's been burning this morning. Because I feel like that there's a soul, amen, that's under the sound of my voice this morning. That there's a Judas in this place. I know we put on our smiles and we put on our little front and we want everything to look all right. And we dress a little, you know, right. And we act like we're still holding this. We act like we're still holding on to the line. And I want to tell you, if God would write your name, amen, on this wall, and write the contents of your heart on this wall, you desire more the things of the world, amen, than you do in the Father's house. Your heart is more involved with the things that the world has got to offer. I want to preach to you this morning. Amen. There's a Judas in the house. You know what it is to fellowship with the Spirit of God. You know what it is to feel the power of the Holy Ghost. You know what it is to cry and weep under the Spirit. Amen. But you're contemplating, amen, going out. You're contemplating leaving the house of God. How is it that the devil slips into our holiness services and rips our children?
and pulls him out from our church pews. And you never know they had a hole in his background at all when you see them on the street. There's a Judas in the house. There's a Judas in this house. I would to God that the Spirit of the Lord would help us in this service. Galatians 5 and verse number 7 said, he did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? The Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Galatia, he looked at some of them and he said, you used to run well. He said, you used to run well. Can I take it to our terms? You used to get into these services. You used not to sit back. You used to get into these altars. You used not to run outside. Amen. When it was time to come down and pray. But now, amen, what has hindered you? What has crept into your heart? Where at one time there was a hot, fervent love for the cause of Christ. But now, in the place of the love of God, there is a love for the things of the world. My God, help me this morning. I want to preach to you. Amen. There's somebody that's among us this morning. Amen. That I'd like to reach today and let you know. Amen. You don't have to go out. You don't have to leave us. You don't have to backslide. You don't have to give up. You don't have to be a statistic. You don't have to leave the Holiness Church. I think about being over there in the garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is tarrying in the garden and he's a praying while the disciples are asleep. The Bible said that in the darkness of the night, there's a sound that comes through the garden. Probably the clinging of swords, clinging of shields, the lights of the lanterns come down as prophecy of the Old Testament is being fulfilled. And the Bible said that Judas Iscariot comes to the blessed Master and he comes to him and our blessed Lord and Master looks at him and he says, friend, wherefore art thou come? You see, amen, one last time, our blessed Lord makes an altar call in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, friend, where have you come? Can I tell you that that was Judas Iscariot's very last altar call? And I tell you, he never received another invitation to get right with God when he heard the blessed Master say, friend, wherefore art thou come? That was his very last altar call from the Savior himself. Can I tell you, my friend, that there is a reality, amen, that is still here today, that there is a such thing as a line that is unseen by mere mortal eye, that line of no return. Can I tell you the Spirit, amen, moved and said, my Spirit will not always strive with man, seeing that he is flesh. Can I tell you that there is a chance, amen, that you will receive your very last altar call? Judas received it in the garden. I know men and women who received it sitting on a church pew. I know people today who feel like that they received their very last altar call. I remember hearing a story about a man. He was in a service. I believe it was in South Georgia. Among the Broxton people. There's a young evangelist that went and preached. And he preached about getting your tickets. Tickets he won. Tickets. There's a man that was there that night. God was calling him, Brother Kyle. God was dealing with that man, Brother Peach. And that evangelist made that altar call. Tickets. Tickets, anyone? Tickets. Tickets to heaven. Tickets, anyone? That man rejected the call of God on his life that night. And just several weeks after that service was over with, that man literally went near crazy. And they would hear him go through the house screaming, tickets, 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 anyone? Tickets, tickets, anyone? He received his very last altar call. Pastor George Truett was preaching. Hey, man, going to preach a funeral. He was riding, a young girl had died. And he was riding in the horse carriage with the father. And the father and the Pastor Truett began to talk. And they began to converse. And that man looked at Pastor Truett and said, he said, Pastor Truett, I don't know how to explain it, but you've changed somehow. He said, is that right? Yeah. He said, when you first came here, your preaching affected me. When you first came here, your preaching convicted me. He said, but you know, Pastor, your preaching no longer pulls at me. Your preaching no longer affects me. And Pastor Truett said, I did not have the heart to tell him. It was not I that had changed, but it was he that had changed. He had received the call of God, and he had rejected the call of God. I want to tell you this morning, amen, the grace of God is not something to play with.
Men have gone to their grave crazy because they rejected the call of God. They went into eternity, nearly lost their mind, and went to hell because they lost out with God. I'll just tell you something that happened to me. When I was in high school, I invited these young girls from school to come to the house of God. I guess I was probably a freshman, maybe sophomore in high school. And I invited them. I knew they were wicked girls. I knew they was girls of ill repute and wouldn't make good wife material. And I wasn't looking for them. And I invited them. I said, y'all need to come. One Wednesday night, they came to the house of the Lord. I remember coming out of the back prayer room as we did a lot of times. And I come out of there, seen them back there. Didn't even have time really to greet them. We just come right out of time for service. I didn't know they was going to be there. But I remember during that altar service or during that service, there was a few songs that was sung. And only time and eternity will ever tell if heaven reveals it. What went on that night in the mind and the hearts of those young girls. But even before the preaching got started, those girls left our church and they left and went home. It was just 2 weeks after they left. There was one young girl that she was probably 3 miles down from the church, three to five miles down from the church, on one of the roads off the side of the church there. And they was both of the girls that was there. It was three or four of the girls that came, but two of the girls was riding in the car together, and they were riding down the road. And as they were just riding down the road, amen, they said they were going to get some cigarettes.
and they were riding down the road, and there was a truck that was carrying a big farm disc on the flatbed trailer, and as that truck made the turn, when it did, that disc just somehow fell off the top of that flatbed trailer, and it landed on the side of that car, and it killed the girl that was driving instantly. The other girl was unharmed, unscratched, but I've always wondered in my mind if somehow during that Wednesday night service, if the Spirit of God, amen, did not give that girl an altar call, and she walked out of that service never heeding to the call of God, amen, never knowing that God had a time appointed, amen, it is appointed in a man wants to die, and after this the judgment. I want to tell you this morning, amen, you better not reject the Spirit of grace. I can't stay in services like this. Judas, why? Preacher, I got distracted. I got to looking at what that money could do for me. History says the Apostle Paul and Demas went to Rome. Upon arriving in Rome, they saw the splendor and the glory of Rome, the pomp and the glory that Rome had to offer. Somehow or another, Demas, the fellow laborer of the gospel, has now forever to be remembered as Demas the deserter. Because when Paul wrote, he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I feel like there's somebody in the building. Your heart is being overtaken by the love of the world. You become distracted by the glory and the glamour and the pomp that Rome has to offer. You look out there and you see this and you see that, and you, the curiosity that arouses in your heart, and you say, I'd like to experience that. I'd like to go out and experience that a little bit. I want to tell you, the Bible says once, yea twice, oftentimes, God dealeth with man to withdraw man from his purpose. I want you to know that God Almighty has sent a preacher your way. And if I'm the only thing standing between you and leaving the house of God, I hope somehow to be capable of convincing you that you better not go. You better not leave. You better not leave the house of God today without checking your heart and making things right. Judas, if he could come from the portals of hell and preach to you this morning, he would preach to you that those 30 pieces of silver was a cheap trade. I will tell you, my God of heaven, that worldly boy is a cheap trade. That job is a cheap trade. That money is a cheap trade. That music is a cheap trade for what you're leaving behind. I feel like asking you to stand all over the building this morning. I'd like for somebody to come to the piano. Bible said in 2 Peter He said, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than for you to have known the way and to turn back." Luke said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." I don't want to see anybody forsaking the plow of gospel service. I'd like for every head to be bowed this morning. Every eye to be closed. I wouldn't like anybody to look around right now. But I preach to you, burden of my heart. For some, Judas that's among us, there's some of the Judases, they're contemplating leaving us. They're contemplating turning away. And then there's some Judases among us. You've already traded your soul's salvation. There are some Judases among us. You've already backslid. Come on, let's everyone reverence the Lord. Could it be that here, Sunday morning, at this holiness convention, that God's Spirit is striving with someone? Could it be that God, in His mercy, is calling to you? I believe with all my heart there's somebody in this building. You need to respond to the Holy Ghost this morning. Noah sent the dove out of the ark. The Bible says that the dove returned, for there was no place to set his feet down on. Could it be that heaven's holy dove is trying to find a heart to descend upon today? I wonder if there's a home. I wonder if there's a heart that would just allow the Spirit of God to come in. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, you've never been at a loss for bringing erring men to their senses. Father, you arrested Balaam with a talking donkey. You arrested David by the parable of the prophet Nathan. Father, you arrested Jonah, the fugitive prophet, by a storm and a whale. Father, you arrested Peter by the crowing of the rooster. Whatever it takes this morning to get a hold and arrest the hearts of erring men and women in this building, Father, I ask you that the presence of your Spirit would fall in this place. Convict every unholy, unrighteous, unsanctified heart in this building this morning. Father, with every head still bowed and every eye closed, help me, God. I want to know this morning, with every head still bowed, every eye closed, are you here and you've been wrestling with the thought of giving up? You've been wrestling with the thought of turning around, just completely giving up, throwing in the towel. Are you here? Would you like to pray this morning? Would you like to pray this morning? Or are you the Judas that's here and you've already traded him for 30 pieces of silver? And you know this morning your heart's not right. You know if you die right now, you'll go to a devil's hell. Come on, you're here this morning. Would you just slip your hand up this morning? Say, "It's me, preacher." It's me. Do I have a praying church this morning? You're here and you're lost without God. You're lost. Your heart's not full of that fervent love that at one time caused you to be faithful to God and to His services. I don't know who you are, but I feel the Spirit of God in this place. There are some of you, and I don't mean to tarry, I'm fixing to call us to the altar. There are some of you, you're sitting under the sound of my voice, and you're just like Judas Iscariot. You feel the presence of the Master. You've been here when His glory has fell. But today you're not close to Him like you once was. And you know where you're at. And God's Holy Ghost is writing on the wall, "Meanie, meanie, tickle you farce, and thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting." And this morning, God in eternity is calling you to bear record of your experience with God. And it will be forever written and recorded in eternal glory. The decisions that are and are not made in this service this morning. The commitments that are made and those that are passed over. God is bearing them witness right now. In the name of Jesus, is there someone you'd like to come and pray around this altar? Right now, you step out of your pew. Step out of your altar. Make an altar. Come. Anybody? How about it, saints of God? Won't you come, everyone? Come on.